In the history of the world, no one had ever attempted a program of this magnitude. The conception of it was brilliant, but monumental. The likelihood of it happening seemed rather slim. If taken seriously, it would mean a complete change of focus in your own personal life, in your family life, in your community life, in your nation life, in the world. Seven simple words, and I quote, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations." Seven simple words. You understand the meaning of every one of them. And yet, they are monumental. It had never been done before. This was a revolutionary concept. Consider teaching from the beginning. It began with one God teaching a man and a woman. You had the perfect teacher. You had delayed learners. And it didn't work. Then from there, it went to the family. The family began teaching the family unit. It was all designed out in Deuteronomy 6. And from there, the family began teaching the nation. And values were put in place. Economic values, social values, spiritual values. And except for a few prophets that went to other places, the whole tenor was on one little nation and one little sliver of property in the world. Until Jesus. And He said, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations." And He was evidently serious about it. Luke wrote in Acts, the first chapter, in the 8th verse, Jesus' words, He says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be My witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." He was serious. You're going to start in one place, and this is going to go everywhere. Interestingly enough, when the disciples listened to the seven simple words, power followed. Just one example of many, Acts the 11th chapter, starting with verse 19. "Now those who had been scattered by the persecution in connection with Stephen, traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, telling the message only to Jews." There it is. Only to the Jews. "Some of them, however," here it comes, "some of them, however, began to speak to the Greeks also, telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus. The Lord's hands was on them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord." Everybody went to the Greeks? No. Just a few. Who listened and taught all nations. So what does that mean for today? This is a passage that we've bantered about a lot. I personally have not found this passage very satisfying. It's been one of those ones that's kind of made me wonder. And I've come up with explanations that made me feel good. It was given just to the apostles and they took care of it, so I don't have to worry about it anymore. Or it just means, well, we do what we can. Or we come up with other kinds of things. But in the struggle, what do we do? Well, do we take our detailed, definitive curriculum and using our large professional staff of trained teachers, along with our unlimited budget, we accomplish this command? Yeah, right. It's not happening, isn't it? We struggle trying to take care of Raytown, folks, let alone the world. But Jesus said, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations." That's what he said. So what do? Well, we did notice there was a correlation between teaching and growth. Well, that's a fascinating concept. We see that concept in Antioch, and in Corinth, and in Philippi, and in Colossae, and in Thessalonica, and in Rome. Maybe there's a pattern here we got going. We teach, and things grow. The Lord blesses. They didn't have a word process, collated curriculum, well-run teacher schools, and a bottomless pockets. But things happened. The ends of the earth were reached. So what's the secret? If it happened then, can it happen now? Well, first of all, we need to understand two words in particular. First of all, the word nation. It doesn't mean everyone in every country. It means all people. So the people in my block who are Caucasian and who are Afro-American and Hispanic need to be taught the Word of God. That's my world. I should be there. And the people on your block, whether they're Greek or Jew or white or black or red or yellow or brown, it doesn't make any difference. That's your world. That's your nation. Because all people need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. So the second word we need to focus on is the word teach. And this is important. Because this is where we've been hung up before. First of all, let me tell you what the word teach does not mean. Teach does not mean to learn without any attachment to a teacher. In other words, teach does not mean rote. Now, true, that's important. I'm a big fan of learning the multiplication facts. It helps. The only way you learn the multiplication facts is by rote. But that's not what Jesus was talking about. He wasn't talking about rote. Last night we had a celebration of those who are teachers. A great celebration. I hope we make it an annual event. I thought it was good for us to celebrate that. And in that time, we shared some funny and important moments in teaching. And by and large, most of the cases shared, there was an attachment from the teacher to the student. And where there was, that relationship continues today. In many cases, not every case, but in many cases. You see, the teaching that Jesus is talking about here means to make disciples or to develop learners. And it has a four-part process. The first thing that's important in doing this is the deep shaping of character. It means I'm going to teach you more than the 66 books of the Bibles. I'm going to teach you what it is not to lie. I'm going to teach you what it is to be honest. I'm going to teach you what it is to be a trustworthy. I'm going to teach you character because I'm going to live it. The second part that happens in this word is that it means to cultivation of a worldview. I'm going to let you know that I care about all people. That just because someone is of a different skin color, that they're not they're not less important than I am. That they wear a different kind of clothes. That they're not as well off as I am. I'm going to teach you a valuable world view. The third thing that happens with the idea of teaching is a close personal relationship. In order to teach all nations, I will need to be able to be in your life. I will need to experience your joys and your failures. I will need to experience the things that make you happy and the things that make you sad. And I need to rejoice with you and weep with you. And the fourth thing that I need to be this teacher is I need to allow your life, I need to allow my life to shape the life of the student. Remember what Paul said? Be ye followers of me as I am of Christ. I need to be such an example that you can mold your life around mine and there not be anything lost in the translation of Jesus. No wonder the idea was revolutionary. Nobody had ever tried that before. Remember the Pharisees and the Sadducees of the time. Jesus said you were hypocrites. They weren't teachers. They were hypocrites. Because they didn't have what it took to be teachers. They were not proper molds for these young lives. To teach means I must be involved. It doesn't mean that I need to know everything. I just have to be involved. I have to bring my world to yours and your world to mine. So how do we develop these learners? We take everybody that wants to be a learner and we put them in a monastery someplace so they can't be influenced by outside things. Do we put them all into one particular college? Maybe we all buy houses in the same area and we develop a commune. And nobody gets in except those people that we want to teach the right stuff. Do we do it in large groups and small groups? What kind of methods do we use? Well, let me show you. You all know what this is. Do you know that this little item caused a great fervor when it was introduced? Teachers all across the country denounced this item. Because after all, we had quill and ink. Why would we ever want anything like this? Do you know when this item was introduced and communities all over the country bought blackboards for their teachers? They went unused. Why do I need to put that information up there? That's too much. Every child had their slate. How about you? Do you remember the time when there was a fervor over whether or not you should use prepared class books instead of the Bible? Oh. How about the overhead projector? I still know people who don't like to sing songs off the overhead projector. We've got two books full of songs. If we had the technology, I could have done all this presentation on a computer. Would Jesus had used a computer if he came back today? Would he have had a website? My point simply is this, folks. It is the message that is important, not the method. Let's not get hung up in methods and forget the message. Consider what God did. Let me give you 10 items of methods God used to show you that He believes in using technology. Here they are. First of all, He spoke directly and audibly from heaven. We can handle that. He wrote on tablets of stone. He became flesh. He revealed himself in supernatural beings. He gave vivid dreams and visions. He drew on walls of palaces. He made animals talk. He voiced truth through human prophets. He composed poetry. He provided visual reminders of promises. Does God believe in using all kinds of method? Absolutely. So we should too. As long as the message is clearly stated, let's celebrate the idea of teaching. Let's dedicate ourselves to becoming a master of the message and use any method possible so that we, with Paul, can say, so that I can win some for Christ. This morning, I want to call you, every one of you, to become a teacher. I would pray that you would embrace these 7 simple words. To look at your world and make a commitment to teach. To find just one person that you would draw into your world and have a teacher-mentor relationship. That you would follow the pattern of Paul in 2 Timothy 2 and 2. And the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men who will also be qualified to teach others. I call you this morning to dedicate yourself to becoming a Bible teacher. Not just knowledge, but application. Real life. I call you to consider the message of Ezra and his life from the 7th chapter and the 10th verse. For Ezra had devoted himself to the study and the observance of the law of the Lord and to teaching its decrees and laws in Israel. Study and transfer your knowledge. I call you to that this morning. This morning, make a commitment to 7 simple yet powerful words. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. The message is yours. I pray that you consider your role in that great challenge, given not by Dan Green, but by Jesus Christ. And as you look at your role, I hope that you'll make a decision about where you need to be. If you're in the body, then make a decision about how you're going to accomplish that dream, that goal, that command, that vision of Jesus, your Master and Savior. If you're outside of Jesus Christ, we want you to know that He wants you on that side teaching. And we'd love to have you. If you're ready to make Jesus as your Lord, if you're ready to announce Him as your Savior, to confess your sins, to be baptized, so that you can put off this old man and raise to become new and begin the process of becoming a Bible teacher. Someone who makes learners would give you that opportunity as we stand and as we sing.